One of the things I'm running on is the idea of service. What I mean by that is service to country and service to Canadians. I'm also building my campaign on democracy, which will cover freedom of speech and freedom of belief, which I believe are under attack and are eroding. I'm also building my campaign on the pillar of family. Strong families lead to a strong society, which leads to a strong Canada. And also on security. Canadians are concerned about security, both from internal threats and external threats.
On the feature today, an interview with Conservative Party leadership candidate Pierre Lemieux. In the news, an appeal in an important parental rights case in Ontario, some statistics on euthanasia in Canada for 2016, and another illustration of why we need a law on abortion.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
A man in the Hamilton area in Ontario has launched a legal appeal of a lower court decision on parental rights. Steve Turlukas has two children. He had taken the Hamilton-Wentworth District School Board to court for the right to take his kids out of a public school classroom when certain topics were being taught. He lost at the lower court last year, and his lawyer, Albertos Palazagopoulos, says the case is now going to appeal.
The trial judge came to the conclusion that Steve Turlukas' religious freedom was engaged, and it was violated as a result of these issues. But the judge did go on to say that the decision of the school board was nevertheless reasonable because the school board needed to consider the charter right to inclusivity, which is not at all a charter right. It's a made-up charter right. He came up with it in this decision. So that's the gist of his decision. There's a whole lot of problems with it, in my view.
The appeal is likely to be heard sometime this spring or summer. A truce of sorts in a homeschool education court battle in Alberta. Late last year, the Alberta government pulled the accreditation and funding for the Wisdom Academy and its related Trinity Christian School Association, citing financial irregularities. Wisdom won a temporary injunction against that suspension in November. The case was back in court last week. Both sides, though, have dropped legal action. The government has agreed to reinstate accreditation and funding, and the homeschool group has agreed to have a government-appointed financial advisor watch over its operations for at least a year. In the meantime, an RCMP and Canada Revenue Agency investigation of Trinity's finances will continue. The end of 2016 brought out some preliminary stats on euthanasia in Canada. Parliament passed a new law on the issue in June, and since then, 744 people have successfully ended their own lives with medical assistance. Alex Schadenberg is with the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition.
I'm not surprised with the amount of promotion that's gone on of the euthanasia law that we have. What do you say, when you're in the media enough, it becomes normalized much quicker. The fact is the Supreme Court of Canada made a terrible decision, and so we have a serious problem that unless we overturn that decision, we will be left with some sort of euthanasia no matter what. It's just a reality that we'll be faced with. And the difficulty is that you have a Liberal government that is likely in favor of even more euthanasia rather than less.
The 744 reported deaths did not include stats from New Brunswick, the Yukon, or Iqaluit. They didn't release any data. A disturbing abortion case out of Quebec. A woman there went to the McGill University Health Center last year. She was about 7 months pregnant and had discovered a problem with her unborn child. The health center denied her request for an abortion. The woman shopped around, and about 2 weeks later, she found a hospital that would perform the procedure. Mike Schutten with We Need a Law says this case again illustrates the problem with Canada's lack of any abortion regulation.
You have the medical community grappling with this reality that we have lawmakers in our country who refuse to provide a framework for the medical community to facilitate abortion. So that's why there's this tension. And I think what we're seeing from the Canadian public is that there's two reactions. One is purely emotional, and it's how on earth can this woman think she has the right to somehow force a medical team who's spent their entire lives delivering babies to now kill her baby at 30 to 35 weeks. And then there's the policy reaction, and that is, hey, why is Canada continuing to go ahead without any instructions, without any regulations to the medical community?
Schutten says this case also illustrates the validity of the campaign for a so-called international standards abortion law.
Every country around the world has regulations For example, France has rules that you can have an abortion up till 12 weeks, and if you want one after that, even in the cases of fetal abnormality, you need extensive visits to doctors, a few physicians signing off on this. If we're going to live in a country that just says, well, if a woman decides her fetus is deformed or there's something wrong with it or there might be something wrong with it, I think that's a dangerous position to be in, because then we're accepting that there's some people who are less valuable than others and their lives aren't worth living.
Speaking of abortion in the law, a defeat over the Christmas break for pro-life protesters. Mary Wagner. She was imprisoned in Ontario after a peaceful protest at an abortion clinic in 2012. She tried to appeal that conviction in late November, her lawyer arguing that the original trial was unfair because it failed to consider Section 37 of the Criminal Code, which allows justifiable force to protect anyone from assault, and that anyone should include the unborn child. The appeal essentially asked the court to declare the unborn child a human being and abortion culpable homicide. The appeal was rejected. In a completely different and opposite ruling, the Alabama Supreme Court ruled earlier this month that a woman who lost her baby during her pregnancy as a result of medical malpractice can sue the doctor for wrongful death because the unborn child is a human being. The case centered on a misdiagnosed ectopic pregnancy. The mother sued for wrongful death, and the court decided that the unborn are protected by the state's wrongful death statute, because life begins at conception. Back with more after this.
The government of Ontario is actively hiding abortion statistics in order to frustrate the ongoing work of helping women and advancing preborn human rights. The Stop Censorship Tour began January 7th and runs until January 16th in 9 cities. Upcoming events include Oakville, Dundas, Vineland, Fergus, Owen Sound, Waterloo, and Windsor, with speakers Mike Schutten, John Sikkema, and Pat Maloney. Visit weneedalaw.ca for more information and event details.
And we're back on the program. On the feature today, an interview with Pierre Lemieux, yet another candidate for the leadership of the Federal Conservative Party. I spoke to Mr. Lemieux from his home in Ontario just before Christmas. First of all, Mr. Lemieux, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I noticed just before Christmas you put out a press release saying it's time to have the discussion on gender-selective abortion. You're the first candidate that's kind of led with his chin on this specific facet of the pro-life question. Talk to me a little bit about your perspective on that.
Absolutely. So I've based my campaign on three pillars. One of the pillars upon which my campaign is based, and a pillar about which I feel quite strongly, is called democracy. What I mean by democracy is that here in Canada, we have a strong and healthy democracy. And within that democracy, Canadians should be able to discuss within society and debate within Parliament any subject that is of importance to them in an open and respectful way. And so I just find it very inappropriate, somewhat undemocratic, that politicians will say, this debate is closed, that debate is over, this debate will not be reopened. And I think we want to be in the realm of having open and respectful debate on any issue which is of interest to Canadians. And so this leads up to the announcement regarding sex selection abortions, whereby baby girls are aborted simply because they are girls, for no other reason other than they are girls. So I feel from my discussions with conservatives, my discussions with Canadians, they want to have discussions about life issues. And this is a good example of a discussion that we can have.
You say they want to have discussions about life issues. I mean, we just had Cassie and Molly's law. That failed in Parliament. There's the whole broader discussion. I'm sure you're familiar with the We Need a Law organization. One of the talking points is there's three countries in the world that don't have any restrictions on abortions: North Korea, China, and the only democracy, us. Would you, if you were to become the leader, expand the discussion on these life issues beyond gender-selective abortions? Or do you leave that to the caucus to bring forward? Or what's your thought?
That's a very good question. And that's why my pillar on democracy is so important. Because I will not be one to say, well, that debate is over. We cannot have that debate here in Parliament. We cannot have that debate within Canadian society. So the way in which debates come about, it can be quite varied. You can have an MP that's representing, for example, his or her constituents, and they begin a debate either within Parliament, but also within society, where they have meetings with Canadians. They do press releases. They do outreach to start a debate or to start a discussion. But you can also have groups within Canada. There are many, many groups that want to talk about life issues. These organizations and groups have memberships and they represent a wide cross-section of Canadians. That's another way for debate and discussion to start. So there are many, many ways. I encourage all of it. And as I say, when I talk with Canadians, when I talk with conservatives, there are life issues that they want to discuss. So I would be open to any of those kinds of discussions and debates, and I actually think it's healthy within our Canadian democracy.
Forgive me, but the specifics of the question were, would your government introduce legislation beyond the sex selective thing? I mean, is there a broader discussion to be had? You seem to be saying there is, but would the government initiate that, or would that have to come via a private member's bill or motion?
No, the government could initiate that. So for example, that's what I'm proposing here, initiating a discussion, but it's based on input from Canadians on life issues, which would include sex selection abortions, but it could include other things as well. I think, as you quite rightly pointed out, Canada is the only democracy in the world that has no laws at all protecting life before birth. And I think it's 80% of Canadians don't even realize that. They don't realize that abortion can take place from the moment of conception right up until the 9-month mark, just before the birth process is completed. And so when they become aware of that, Canadians are uncomfortable and they want to see initiatives. And so part of the debate, part of the discussion on that leads to solutions.
Let's go to more general stuff. I've talked to several other leadership candidates and we've talked about the state of the party, you know, post the convention, the definition of marriage was change there. There seems to be a perception that there's a bit of a rift going on within the Conservative Party. Some social conservatives have left. Some are drifting back in now that we have some sort of SOCON leadership candidates such as yourself. What's the state of the Conservative Party that you would be taking over if you were to win the leadership? And how would you work to sort of unite the various factions?
This is such an interesting time for the Conservative Party because there are several factors that influence the future direction of the party. One of them is, of course, the leader that is chosen. But the other one is also the membership. And the membership has a very vital role to play. And so my advice to people that have perhaps disengaged since the last convention would be to re-engage, because what we want is a strong, healthy membership. And through this process of voting in the leadership race, members get to help determine the future direction of the party. So for example, if there are people that value life who want to have discussions and want to see initiatives on life issues, by all means, join the party. You need to join the party. It's only $15. With that $15, you will have an opportunity to vote for the leader that represents your values.
I don't want to put too sharp a point on this, but I asked Andrew Scheer the same question when I saw him a few weeks ago. You know, some of these leadership candidates are talking a fairly good game on the social conservative side. How do we know you're not going to turtle and do a Patrick Brown on us when this is all over?
Right. So I think when you look at my track record within Parliament, when I was elected, I was a pro-life member of Parliament. I was elected in Parliament for 10 years. And in many, many public debates and in voting and in statements I made, it was always in favor of life and in favor of life issues. So I believe in the value and dignity of human life from the moment of conception right through to natural death. I have spoken openly about this throughout my tenure as a member of Parliament. I'm also the father of 5 children, been married for 30 years, and life issues are important. And I would say I've had the courage to bring forward an issue that highlights the interest that Canadians have in discussing life issues. Some of the other candidates would rather not talk about this, but I'm saying, no, we should be talking about this, and I'm trying to encourage people who value life to join the party and to vote accordingly.
Let's move beyond the social conservative issues. What else does Pierre Lemieux bring to the table in terms of the leadership discussion? That'll be the final question. We're running out of time here.
Okay, so I'm running on a number of things. One of the things I'm running on is the idea of service. What I mean by that is service to country and service to Canadians. Canadians want a leader and they want a prime minister that will serve Canada first and serve them as Canadians. I have a very strong track record in service. I joined the military at the age of 17 and I served our country for 20 years. And then I also served as a member of Parliament for 10 years. And I served, of course, my wife and my family as a husband and father for 30 years. So I have a well-grounded record in service. I'm also building my campaign not only on democracy, which will cover freedom of speech and freedom of belief, which I believe are under attack and are eroding here in Canada. I'm also building my campaign on the pillar of family. Strong families lead to a strong society, which leads to a strong Canada. So we need to take action to strengthen our families within Canada. And also on security. Canadians are concerned about security, both from internal threats and external threats. With my military background, and my parliamentary background, I want to address their security concerns.
Sure, I thank you very much. We're out of time.
All right, thank you so much.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.